Into our class, that we're going to be talking about perseverance. Who can tell me what the definition, well, who can define what perseverance is?
I have one.
Go ahead,
The steadfast effort to follow God's commands and to do His work.
Very good. That's an excellent start on the definition. Does anybody would like to add to that?
I have. Oh, go ahead. To remain steadfast in faith and practice despite trials, temptations, and difficulties, trusting God and His promises, and endure in face of hardship.
Very good. And that's what I said too. The steadfastness, continuing in your faith and good works, despite difficulties, trials, and opposition. We're always going to face trials in our lives. And God's going to give us a way that we can conquer it. But you have to approach God. Carol?
Yeah, well, from the root word to preserve, it's to save, to guard, to protect. And if you think about a piece of meat, it doesn't protect itself. It needs the salt or the freezing or whatever else is done to it to preserve. So you're adding to yourself from God, in this case, to preserve yourself.
Mm-hmm. Very good. And that's the whole key. We have to rely on God for everything. And when we sign up to be a Christian, we're committed 100% to serve God. And the way you find out what He wants you to do, go to His Word. Pray to Him. Talk to Him. And perseverance is about holding firm to one purpose, remaining tenacious and not giving up, especially when you're faced with challenges or setbacks. And we have that. We struggle with that all the time in our lives. But we have God on our side. We should remember that. Also, it's about enduring suffering and hardship while maintaining one's commitment to God. And it's important for us to be committed to serving God to the best of our ability. Very good comments. I got some further things to look at. Perseverance is defined as steadfastness, steadfast effort to follow God's commands and to engage in His work. What is God's work for us?
To love each other and to love thy neighbor and to follow His rule and to just
uh-huh.
The community as a light.
Yeah, it is. But what are we as Christians? What's our jobs as a Christian?
Glorify God. That is share the gospel.
Share the gospel.
Bring others to Christ.
What's that mean?
Bring others to Christ.
Bring others to Christ.
Visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction.
Exactly. There's a lot of things that God expects from His children. His children to follow. And we have to go out and do it. We could study about it. We could read about it. But we have to put it into action. And the New Testament emphasizes that genuine faith is demonstrated through perseverance and good works. James talks about that in 2 chapter, verses 14 through 26. And let's turn there. I don't have the scriptures on the board. I have them in my notes. But let's get someone to read that for us, please. Who would like to read James chapter 2, verses 14 through 26?
I'll read it.
Okay.
What good is it, my brothers, if a man claims to have faith but has no deeds? Can such faith save him? Suppose a brother or sister is without clothes and daily food. If one of you says to him, go, I wish you well, keep warm and well fed, but does nothing about his physical needs, what good is it? In the same way, faith by itself, if it's not accompanied by action, is dead. But someone will say, you have faith, I have deeds. Show me your faith without deeds, and I will show you my faith by what I do. You believe that there is one God. Good. Even the demons believe that and shudder. You foolish man, do you want evidence that faith without deeds is useless? Was not our ancestor Abraham considered righteous for what he did when he offered his son Isaac on the altar? You see that his faith and his actions were working together, and his faith was made complete by what he did. And the scripture was fulfilled that says, Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness, and he was called God's friend. You see that a person is justified by what he does, and not by faith alone. In the same way, was not even Rahab the prostitute considered righteous for what she did when she gave lodging to the spies and sent them off in a different direction? As the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without deeds is dead.
Thank you, Kim. So we see that, hold on a second, I think I just, oh, here it is. We see that James emphasizes we have to put our faith to work. We have to put it in action. And we get that by all the comments that you guys made, how God expects us to work in his service. And that's why we're here. We're here to work for God, basically. Thanks, David. Just tied up. We're here basically to work for God. And we do that by going out and helping people, helping those we can. Put your faith into action. And that's what God expects from each and every one of us. And we as Christians should be going out and helping others. Helping others so that they can see what things. They can see how a child of God. And that's what we signed up for when we were baptized, by being faithful to God and following his lead. We go on to see that perseverance is rooted in the faithful trust in God's unwavering support for his people. God is there to help you. God is with you. At baptism, we receive the Holy Spirit, God's Spirit, and he's with us, helping us. And by committing to God's word, Christians not only strengthen the church, but also develop their character. We're persevering. We're going forth and doing what we can. Paul says it in Romans chapter 5, verses 3 and 4. Not only this, but we also exalt in our tribulations, knowing that tribulations bring about perseverance, and perseverance proving character, and proving character hope. And what are we all hoping for?
Our heavenly home. Heavenly home.
Eternal life with God. Very good. And that's what we're seeking. Finally, we see that perseverance brings believers closer to God, reinforcing their relationship with him and providing assurance of a final reward. That's heaven. And it's by God's grace and mercy we are going to receive that. In 1 John chapter 5, verse 13, John writes, "These things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know that you have eternal life." So Christians should express their gratitude for God's saving grace and deepening their faith. And we do that by showing people, helping people, and being there for people. This came out of the Nelson's New Illustrated Bible Dictionary. So when you look at persevering, we have to continue in our lives to always be ready to work for God in whatever He wants us to do. So as we continue perseverance, we should have an endurance in the face of trials. And we all are going to be challenged with different trials in our lives. And if you can't overcome them, go to God and ask for help. Go to your brothers and sisters and ask for their assistance. Ask for their prayers so that you can approach God. Steadfastness in faith, that's what perseverance is. Continuing to be faithful at all times. Look at Abraham, what Kim had read about him. He was willing to sacrifice his son that God had given him. Genesis chapter 22. And he knew his heart. God knew Abraham's heart, and provided a sacrifice. Also, commitment to God's will. And how will we learn about God's will? By reading and studying the Bible. It doesn't come to us automatically. And there's a reward for perseverance, and that's eternal life. And we find that it's up to us to continue to persevere in everything we do. In Luke chapter 9, verses 57 to 62, Jesus gives us an illustration about three different people. And he goes on to say, and why don't we get someone to read that? Can I get a volunteer to read that for us, please? Luke 9, verses 57 through 62.
As they were going along the road, someone said to him, "I will follow you wherever you go." And Jesus said to him, "The foxes have holes and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." And he said to another, "Follow me." But he said, "Lord, permit me first to go and bury my father." But he said to him, "Allow the dead to bury their own dead. But as for you, go and proclaim everywhere the kingdom of God." Another also said, "I will follow you, Lord, but first permit me to say goodbye to those at home." But Jesus said to him, "No one, after putting his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God."
Thank you, guys. So we see that there's three examples that Jesus shares with us. Three different individuals. One said, "I will follow you wherever you go." And Jesus said, "The Son of Man doesn't have a place to put his head down." We saw Peter. He was willing to follow Jesus, willing to fight for him. But yet he was a human like you and I, and he sinned. He didn't defend the Lord. Another said, "Let me bury my father." And Jesus said, "Hey, let the dead bury them. Follow me." A third one said, "Let me say goodbye to my family." And Jesus said, no one after putting his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. persevere. Make sure you're looking forward. And that forward thing that we're looking for is eternal life. And we have to be prepared in everything we do. We have to face the challenges that Satan puts in front of us when he tries to tempt us to sin. And it's up to you and I to withstand that. And we do that by praying to God and asking him for help.
You know, Lenny, I think these verses are a little bit baffling to us. I think sometimes, I think what Jesus is telling them is that there's a cost to following him. And we need to weigh the cost. We need to look at it and count the cost and figure out, you know, it's kind of like that a cost-benefit analysis. You know, you kind of look at that and you, and you know, the one about, you know, the let the bear... dead bury the dead. And, you know, that's always been confounding to me. But the chances are pretty good in that culture that the man's father had not died, that he was still very much alive. Because had he died, those preparations are made immediately. That it doesn't, it's not delayed at all. So he's asking for time with his family is what he's doing. And when he's saying, let the dead bury their dead, he's saying, let the spiritually dead take care of the physically dead.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to move on. And if you're willing to do that, then come on. But don't linger back and take care of the physical things that are going to keep you from that spiritual devotion. And I think what he's basically saying to these people is, you may not really fully understand what you're asking for. It's going to come to you at a cost. And I think that that's an important thing for us to realize is that we have to put ourselves aside. And that's really hard when we're trying to persevere and we're faced with some really serious difficulties and some hardships mm-hmm. and some anxiety and all of the things that go with that, the grief and the heartbreak and everything that goes along with it. It's hard to remember that... that we counted that cost at some point, and we were willing to do that. And now we're faced with it.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. In fact, when you look at this, we're committed to follow Jesus. We're challenged with many different things in our lives. And there's a need for total dedication. And that's what Jesus is getting at. You have to totally commit to the Lord. And we do that when we're baptized. We may not know it at the time, but yet you are dedicating your life to serve God, to honor God, to praise him, to do his will. Our spiritual duties take precedence over family obligations. We should be committed totally 100% and more to doing what God says. And true discipleship requires immediate and unconditional commitment, free from worldly distractions and delays. As Kim had pointed out, yeah, there's a lot of things in our lives that we are confronted with. There's a lot of things that affect us, but we as Christians have to persevere in all sorts of things. Whatever Satan throws at us, we have to persevere, be steadfast, be faithful to God. Which brings us to two verses. What two verses in the Bible can you come up with that will try to tell us how to persevere? And explain it.
I have one.
Yeah, Ann.
Romans 5, 3 through 5. And not only this, but knowing also, exalt in our tribulations, knowing that tribulations bring about perseverance, and perseverance, proven character, and proven character, hope. And hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who was given to us. That was Paul in Romans.
Very good. And Paul tells us the Holy Spirit was given to us to guide us. Does anyone else would like to share a verse that they have written down? And Eileen?
I have James 1:12. Blessed is the one who perseveres under trial, because having stood the test, that person will receive the crown of life that the Lord has promised to those who love him. It's a very targeted verse about perseverance, imploring us not to give up even when we face trial.
Mm-hmm. Good. Okay.
I have the same chapter, but so James 1, verses 2, 3, 4. Consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance, and let endurance have its perfect result, so that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. So when you come up against a trial, it's actually going to make you stronger, and it produces endurance or perseverance.
Exactly. That's what I had put down myself. And she didn't copy my notes. Anybody else would like to share a verse? Go ahead, Dean.
All right, Hebrews 12. He starts out and he says, I even went further than that in Hebrews 12.
Uh-huh.
Verse 3, consider him who endured from sinners such hostility against himself, so that you may not grow weary or faint hearted. The fuel that lets us persevere is considering Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
It's not reaching down deep inside of ourselves and saying, I'm going to do this. It's considering Jesus.
Exactly. It's looking to Jesus and following his example. That's a very good point. And as the writer of Hebrews said, let's run with endurance the race that is set before us. And we're challenged in this life. We're challenged by people in the world, worldly things that will try to pull us away from God. And we have to be committed totally to God. Very good. Anybody else would like to share? Go ahead, Lee.
Luke 21:19, by your perseverance, you will win your souls.
And good verse.
I love that one.
I like that verse, too. That's a very good one. Anybody else have one? Kirsten?
Some from Romans. One was Romans 15:4, for whatever was written earlier. Whatever was written in earlier times was written for our instruction, that through perseverance and encouragement of the scriptures, we might have hope.
Very good verse. Whatever we encounter in our lives, just remember, people before us, they were faced with different trials in their lives. And we all have the same hope. And that is the hope that God will, by his mercy and grace, give us eternal life. Very good verses. And that's something we as Christians should do when we look at these characteristics or virtues and see what God says through his Spirit in the Bible to help us on our journey here on life, in this life. So let's provide an example of someone who exhibited perseverance from the Old Testament.
I have one, but it comes from James, but it's talking about Job.
Okay.
It says, as you know, we count as blessed those who have persevered. You have heard of Job's perseverance and have seen what the Lord finally brought about. The Lord is full of compassion and mercy.
It's very good. Very good. Job is an excellent example. When we go through these characteristics, we could see that a lot of people look at Job because he has identified with many, many characteristics that we should emulate in our lives. Very good.
I have Noah.
Okay.
That says in chapter 11, verse 7, by faith Noah, being warned by God about things not yet seen, in reverence prepared an ark for the salvation of his household, by which he condemned the world and became an heir of the righteousness which is according to the faith. Does it talk about the word perseverance? Well, I know, but does it say the word perseverance? But he persevered. For what, 120 years? He kept telling them and they didn't believe him. And he built the ark as God told him. And I thought of him right away. I thought, wow,
That's a perfect example. Carol?
Yeah, I have sort of an odd one. It's Ruth and Naomi. Because Naomi, after her husband and her sons died, she felt empty. But because Ruth persevered and followed her word, you could see Naomi start to persevere again and to become involved in taking care of Ruth and becoming and being healed.
Yeah, exactly. And that's another example of someone who, in fact, she said in chapter 2 that I will go where you go. And she accepted Jehovah as her God too. Left her family, left her land, and went and stayed with Naomi. Even though they were poor, she supported each other. Yes.
It's also, think about it, a great example, because Naomi told Ruth, she said, even if I had children, you couldn't wait around for them to grow up to do this. And yet God provided a way.
Yeah, absolutely. Very good example. Anybody else? Faye and then Ted.
I thought of Joshua and Caleb because they were very persistent in believing that they could conquer the Canaanites. The others did. The other said no.
No, that's good. They were very persevering in knowing that God is on their side. Very good example. Ted?
Of David, because he was anointed early in life, knowing that he was going to be king, but refused to go against God's anointed. Even though God's anointed tried to kill him, he persevered in his determination that he was not going to go against God's anointed. He knew that God had appointed him as king, that he had been anointed as the new king. But he was unwilling to go against God's anointed. He was not going to do God's work for him. He let God deal with Saul. And he waited and waited and waited and suffered because of waiting. But he was willing to do that.
Yeah, exactly. Anybody from Zoom have an example to share?
I do.
Go ahead.
It's in Exodus 18, and the verse I'm going for is 23, but it's about Jethro counseling Moses.
Oh, okay.
And it tells him, if you do this thing and God so commands you, then you will be able to endure, and all these people also will go to their place in peace. He's just encouraging to ask for help.
Exactly. That's an excellent example. Bob?
Yes, I think the prophet Elijah,
yeah.
1 Kings 19, where he's fleeing Jezebel, in verse 14, he says, I have been very zealous for the Lord, the God of hosts, for the sons of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, torn down thine altars, killed thy prophets with the sword, and I alone am left, and they seek my life to take it away. But a few verses down, of course, Mm-hmm. The Lord says, oh, hold on a minute. I've got 7,000 others who have not bowed the knee.
Exactly. Very good. I had a prophet, Jeremiah. He was known as the weeping prophet for a number of reasons. He wept over idolatry and false prophets. He prophesied about the downfall of many kingdoms, only to be further persecuted. He continued, Joshua continued to preach and prophesy in the Lord's name. And his story exemplifies what it means to praise God in hard times. The prophets, they were God's mouthpiece, and they continued to preach to the people. Jeremiah is a perfect example of that. So when we look at the Old Testament, we see people persevering for the Lord. No matter what they confronted, they were still committed to Jehovah God. So how about an example from the New Testament? Who has one? Go ahead, Dad.
I have in Luke 18, the persistent widow who kept going back to the judge to get help from a persecution on, you know, a person that was going after her anyway, but she just kept going and going until he finally just gave up, you know, and said, I better help her because she won't stop.
She was persevering.
Yes.
All times. Very good. Anybody else have an example from the New Testament? Dean and then Faye.
Well, I have Peter.
Peter's a
good because leader. I think the hardest thing to persevere through is your own failure.
Mm-hmm.
It's not what happens to you. That's fairly easy. Because I can always fall back on saying, wicked people are always going to persecute good people. But when I fail, and I think of, you know, him getting out of the boat, starting to walk to Jesus on the water, taking his eyes off of Jesus, which was his big problem, and he begins to sink. But he has to persevere through all of that, and the denial, and cutting off the servant of the high priest's ear. Just so many times, Peter had to confront his own failure and not conclude, hey, my failure is because I'm worthless.
But he wasn't worthless. He was an instrument in God's service.
You're right.
And that's a great example of what perseverance is. And that's something that we as Christians should follow. Anybody else in the audience have? Oh, Faye, I forget.
So, 2 Thessalonians 1:4-6, Paul writes to them and he praises them for their perseverance. He says, we speak proudly of you among the churches of God for your perseverance and faith in the midst of all your persecutions and afflictions which you endure. This is a plain indication of God's righteous judgment, so that you will be considered worthy of the kingdom of God, for which indeed you are suffering. For after all, it is only just for God to repay with affliction those who afflict you.
Very good example. Anybody else? Anybody from Zoom? Carol?
That's another odd one. It's the woman who had the bleeding issue, who had the faith that if she just could touch Jesus's robe, that she would be healed. She had to persevere through the fact that she wasn't supposed to touch anybody else, that if she touched anybody else, She would make them unclean. She just had to be so focused on the fact that she knew that would happen, and she just had to do it.
And the apostles said, hey, get her away. Get her away from Jesus. But yet she continued to persevere. Very good point. And that's what I have on the board.
Oh.
But in verse 48, Luke shares with us what Jesus said. Daughter, your faith has healed you. Again, something that we as Christians should be persevering at all costs, no matter what it takes. Very good examples. And there are a lot of these. Luke has shared with us about the blind man who saw in chapter 10, verses 46 through 52, and the raising of a girl and healing a woman in chapter 9. So there are a lot of examples that we could look at how people back in the day were persevering through their trials, through their different circumstances, who came up with putting Jesus first in their lives. Very good examples. Let's continue, and we'll go to the harder questions. How do Christians reflect a Christ-like attitude to perseverance? How do you show Christ in your life when you persevere? Christian.
I had pray, read scripture, and stay focused on what is to come. But you should also have a positive attitude and set examples for how you should handle hard things.
Good. Carol?
I did put doing the right thing because it's the right thing. I mean, sometimes people don't want to do the right thing. And people tempt you not to. But because it is the right thing, you're going to do it.
And that right thing, where do we find the information? Right in the book, in the Bible. So we have to really dig into God's word and make application to it to our lives and put it in action. And that's the key. Perseverance, having a Christ-like attitude, means remaining steadfast and resilient in difficult situations, demonstrating unwavering faith and trust in God's promises. Look at Abraham. God promised he will have many, many nations from him. God gave him promises, and he trusted in God's promises. Do you trust in God's promises when you read God's word? Sometimes we allow the world to draw us away. But we should remember we have to persevere at all costs and put God first. Persevering and being like Christ involves showing patience, humility, and being focused on God's will. Even when we're faced with different setbacks or challenges. Patience and humility, guess what? Those are other characteristics. So we see that the fruit of the Spirit is all intertwined here when we look at these characteristics or these virtues in our lives. They all work together. We should seek God's guidance and strength. And perseverance is rooted in faith and trust in God's faithfulness. God is faithful. Whatever he says will happen. And we should realize that in our lives and make sure we follow his will. Regularly pray, study the Bible, and seek guidance from fellow believers to strengthen your resolve. Go to your brothers and sisters and ask for help with studying something. Go to your brothers and sisters and ask for guidance. Maybe someone who experienced certain things, go to him in the congregation. A member who raised kids and you have struggling with raising your kids, go ask for their help. Remember that God is with you in every trial and difficulty, offering the strength and encouragement, and you need to persevere. Again, being steadfast in your attitude to God. So, our last question tonight is, how do you grow in perseverance and seek opportunities to develop, to demonstrate this knowledge to others of your perseverance? How would you grow, Carol?
Well, I go back to the root word preserve,
mm-hmm.
and that the salt, you have to apply the salt to get preservation. And you also have to show people that you're applying the salt and be willing to tell people that that's what is helping you. That's what's preserving you, making your life better.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Kim?
You know, I think that this comes with faith growth. I don't know of another way to say it. But I think about Abraham. Had Abraham been presented with that dilemma earlier in his life, he might not have risen to the occasion and persevered through it. I think about him lying about his wife, Sarah, being his sister. He did some pretty unsavory things early on in his walk with God. And I think it comes with practice, and it comes by getting through some small trials to get to the big trials, right? Mm-hmm. And to be able to do that. And I think about, I go back to Hebrews 12, and I want to say this with as gently as I can. I don't know how to say it, but you know, when he says, therefore, since we're surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. We had a cloud of witnesses that sort of have lived those experiences. And those of us who have lived through those experiences and are stronger in our faith because we've had that, we need to lend that to younger people. And I'm thinking of a case right now that we're all very aware of, where we have people who are young in the faith who are presented right now with some life trials that are probably the most difficult that we could even imagine.
Mm-hmm.
How could we be a cloud of witnesses for those young people? And I'm not saying that they're not strong in their faith, but they're strong in their faith where they are right now. So somehow, we, as people who have kind of been through life and have grown that perseverance and that endurance and have grown that in our own lives and our faith has grown, how do we lend that to people who are not at that same point in their walk? Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely.
And I don't mean to accuse anybody in saying that they're weak.
No.
I don't mean that at all in any way, shape, or form. But we need to be a cloud of witnesses for one another. We need to figure out how to demonstrate perseverance and how to demonstrate, and like you said here, because it's a growth process, mm-hmm. right? You say we grow in perseverance, and then we have to use that as an opportunity to demonstrate that to other people
who haven't had those life experiences yet.
Who need that.
Who need that.
That's the key.
Yeah, they're going to have to rely on God. Of course, they're going to have to rely on Jesus and their relationship, but they're also going to have to rely on us.
And we have to be there for them.
Absolutely.
And that's the key.
And we get to be there for them. I mean, and I think that's how we can glorify God.
Mm-hmm.
I was talking with my brother-in-law the other day about our current situation and Nolan and Amelia's current situation. Sure. And he said, you know, he said, our family has been through a lot this year. It has been a very difficult year. We lost Mark this year. And he said, look at all of the opportunities we have to glorify God. And I think when we start looking at it that way, that this is an opportunity to figure out a way to glorify God, we're going to approach it from a different aspect. And maybe the way that we as stronger and or people who are further along in the faith, mm-hmm. not stronger faith, I don't know if that's but further along in the faith, how can we glorify God in this? Does that make sense?
Yeah, we have to be there for those individuals.
Right. And that's the key. But that brings glory to God.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And that's our job as Christians.
Yeah.
To support one another in all different trials. Yeah.
The faithful of old did that for us.
Absolutely.
Right?
Very good. Very good comment. Anybody else? Carol?
I go back to Ruth and Naomi. Ruth's love for Naomi grew in Naomi so that she then had active goodwill towards Ruth to take care of her. And so it was a combination of love and perseverance and a call to action between the two women. And
To Ruth as well. She didn't get her.
Yeah. So they both took care of one another. So it was just God's action, God's call to action that both of these women that actually built the both of them up.
And that's the key. It's God had something to do with it.
Yeah.
And we have to remember He's there. No matter what kind of difficulties or trials we endure, it's for a purpose. And you hit the nail on the head that as we grow, we develop a mindset. Put our knowledge into action and to build a supportive network of Christians. We're a family of Christians here at Coburg. And when one family member hurts, we all hurt.
Yep.
One family member who is joyous and happy for something, we rejoice. We have to be there for each other. If you can't support your brothers and sisters here, what's going to happen when you get to heaven? It's going to be difficult if you didn't talk to your brother who is here in the flesh. What are you going to do in heaven when you're there together? Think about it. Focus on your strengths. Learn from your mistakes. Celebrate small victories along the way. We learn from our mistakes. We make mistakes. I made one in my life. One probably every 5 minutes. However, learn from your mistakes so that you can grow and persevere. Celebrate the small victories. Hey, I accomplished something. And be grateful to God because He gave you the opportunity to grow in that. So to demonstrate perseverance to others, we should embrace a humble, patient, and forgiving attitude, just like what Jesus had. He interfaced with many people, those who were sinners, those who were sick, and even those who thought they were spiritually high-minded. But he interfaced with them. He didn't say, I'm better than you. Follow me because I'm God. He gave them the opportunity to follow Jesus, follow him. We should be avoiding judging others. Focus instead on understanding and serving them as Jesus did. We should cultivate a mindset of joy and gratitude, even in the face of hardship. We should be grateful to God for allowing us to have different trials in our life. Just look at his servant Job. Even when he was faced with losing everything, his family, his wealth, all his worldly goods, even his own health, he didn't blame God. He praised God. It must have been hard, but yet he did. And that's an example how one perseveres. Show gratitude, even in the face of hardships. Be patient and persistent in your relationship to others, demonstrating love and understanding, even when faced with difficulties. We should extend our love to people, even those who are not in the faith, our neighbors, our friends, people we meet. I find the difficulty sometimes doing that because of all the things in the world that are happening. However, we as Christians, we are God's servants, and it's up to you and I to show that Christ-like attitude in our lives so that others could see that Jesus is the way. And finally, when we persevere and demonstrate perseverance to others, approach challenges with a strong belief in God's faithfulness and his promises. Whatever God says, it's going to happen. We have no control over that. We as Christians should rely on God for everything, and we do. We shouldn't be saying, hey, well, we did this, we did that. We should be saying, God allowed us to do this. And we should show an attitude of gratefulness and thank him for it. Okay, does anybody want to add anything to Faith?
I was thinking just now about when we're talking to people who are not Christians.
Mm-hmm.
And we're talking about being a Christian or about our faith or what we believe, they're going to make fun by saying, you know, you believe that God created the world. That's very strange to them because they were taught other things. Or why is God waiting so long to come back? That's another thing they'll throw in your face. So when you go home and you think about all these things, then be careful that you don't doubt. You got to be persistent. You got to go back and look at the Bible, study it again. But you have to be careful. It's they're trying to sway you, and some of them are good at it.
And that's an example that we should follow. When we are challenged by other people, look what Jesus did when he was tempted in Matthew chapter 4. What did he do?
Quoted scripture.
He went to scriptures. That's what we should be doing. Going to scriptures. I can't quote scriptures as well as other people can, but I know where to find it in the Bible. And that's what we should be focusing on in our lives. Very good point. Anybody else have any other comments? Anybody from Zoom? Okay, next week we're going to study, I believe, goodness?
Gentleness.
So we'll prepare that for next week.